that working now? Okay, and B, pretty pictures. So that's my plan. We'll see how well I stick to that. Most of this talk I gave at Los Alamos 2 years ago, but there are some important additions since then. And this was the provocative statement I made at that time, which I still believe in. And Bill Malkus was in the audience at that time. And the idea is that maybe Nusselt number goes as Rayleigh number to the 2/7, or as we've been hearing here, 0.309, whatever. Some large Rayleigh number asymptotic power law might be the asymptotic limit for all Prandtl number, at least for these large aspect simulations that I've been doing. Now, my 1996 paper basically only got a regime that looked like this. So below some Rayleigh number at any given Prandtl number, if Prandtl number is not around 1, there will be other scaling regimes. And so what I'm going to be talking about mainly today is crossovers between various length scales and arguing on the basis of those crossovers when there might be transitions. So, I was going to start off by just mentioning that I can do simulations in a box that's 1 by 1 by 1. And when I do that in one direction that's picked by my random initial perturbation, I get a flow that's going around in one direction. And then perpendicular to that direction, I get flows that go into the center and contribute to that flow. Now, this is a calculation unlike most of the experiments, which has free slip sidewalls. There's no dissipation on the sidewalls. And in addition, it's a cube, whereas most of the experiments are in cylinders. So in this type of flow, there's basically only one type of pattern that develops. And hopefully one of these days I'll get to working on the really detailed analysis of those calculations and be able, things I've done so far agree very nicely on things like boundary layer profiles with the actual experiments, which most of what I'm going to talk about today, the agreement is not that good, mainly because of the large aspect ratio. This is all Boussinesq. On the sidewalls, it's stress-free, yes, but not top and bottom. Top and bottom are no slip. So here's the type of geometry that I'm going to be talking about today. So it's pretty flat. There's the bottom. Here's the top. These little patterns in here represent the convection. New calculations I'm going to talk about, the old calculations are periodic on the sidewalls. The new calculations tend to all have free slip insulating sidewalls, but that really doesn't matter for the type of patterns I get and things like that once the aspect ratio is large enough. And I have no slip constant temperature boundary conditions on the top and bottom. And these are pictures out of my 1996 paper. So this is the full box, except I've made it twice as big in the vertical as it actually is. It's flatter than it looks here. And the dominant patterns are, one, in the boundary layer, there's a lot of fine structure, but over the whole bulk of the flow, there's a large-scale flow pattern that basically sits there as long as I want to calculate these things, over and over and over again. And so this is a slice here, sort of through one quarter of the way to the center, and you can see this dominant crossing pattern and a return pattern in yellow.
That's the vertical velocity.
Well, at lower Rayleigh number, I've done it for maybe 20 convective turnover times. For higher Rayleigh numbers, I've done it for maybe 2-3 convective turnover times. That's what I mean by forever. And I'll show you sort of what I mean in a second. Yeah, that's sort of right. And here's some pictures, some various slices. This is the boundary layer. This is inside the boundary layer. This is very close to the wall. Obviously, the fluctuations are not that great, but these are all TV-scaled normalized. That is, the color scale goes from the minimum to the maximum fluctuation in each level. And so you see a lot of fine networking right in the boundary, right near the wall. This is sort of at the top of the boundary layer, and this sort of pattern is broken up a little bit more. And then once you get up closer to the center, you see this dominant pattern of just a few cells dominating everything. Now, what do I mean by going on forever and ever? What I mean is if you follow an updraft that starts here and it goes up and it causes downdrafts here at a later time, and then you follow it later, those downdrafts cause a new updraft here. And that sort of thing happens over and over and over again. And I actually have a video at a lower Rayleigh number where you can actually see this sort of pattern first develop, and then it persists for a long, long time. And over a long period of time, you actually see the pattern moving. So if there's a video machine around here and someone wants me to pop it in, I've got the video anytime someone wants to see it. So now, these calculations produce something close to Nussle goes as Rayleigh to the 2/7. So this is my data here. There are 2 points calculated in different ways to give you a flavor for what the error is at any particular Rayleigh number. As I said, when I have a big box like this, my statistics are very stable. There's very little fluctuation in the Nusselt number at any over the span of the calculations. Most of my error, which isn't showing up here, is actually there's about maybe a 0.5% to 1% error estimated due to grid resolution. That is, as I keep refining the grid, my Nusselt numbers seem to be asymptoting to some particular value. And this dashed dotted line here is from the large aspect ratio experiments of Wu and Liebschaber.
Does that data follow that line all the way down to 0.74?
Well, this is as far as I did my calculations. No. I just took their curve here.
Yeah, but the data don't fit that.
Oh, no. Actually, no. They go down to about 10 to the 6. There is no transition to anything like, there's no intermediate soft turbulence regime for the large aspect ratio. And Bernard actually can amplify that for the small aspect ratio work that was done at the same time, if you want to talk to him about it. So, no, maybe not down to 10 to the 5th, but certainly down to 10 to the 6th. Okay? Now, these calculations have a spectrum that's very close to minus 5/3, and this is the structure functions that I showed yesterday, where I'm starting to do some more detailed analysis of boundary layers now. And in the boundary layer itself, this dashed line is r to the 2/3. In the boundary layer itself, you get a very nice k to the minus 5/3 up to the largest scales. As I go in towards the center, I get a smaller regime, and I talked about that yesterday. I don't want to get into those details today. Now, this is wave number spectrum. It's not frequency spectrum. Yes? I'd say it's inside the error bar, actually, yes. And to give you a better flavor of what the error bars might be, here are the spectra. So you see the oscillations there. And the point here is I really don't have a minus 5/3 quite or a minus 3 or exponential down here. But whatever I have here, the temperature spectra, these are wave number spectra, not frequency spectra, are much less steep. I mean, here I have plotted k to the minus 1, and it's even less steep than k to the minus 1. I don't see 7/5, but that's a frequency spectrum. So there's no reason to actually see 7/5. Excuse me? I have the data. It's all sitting on the mass store at NCAR. It's available to anyone who wants to work with me to get it and do something with it. I have huge amounts of data stored like that. No, I have not. I really need to one of these days, or somebody needs to one of these days. Height? Okay. Throughout the bulk of the flow, it's this spectrum here. And then this is the spectrum within the boundary layer. And basically no difference. The only spectrum there's any really significant difference between the boundary layer and outside is the vertical, because there's no vertical velocity in the wall. Okay. Yeah, that's this, roughly speaking. Now, I have to rearrange this a little bit. Here's some profiles from that calculation. And here's your typical temperature profile, sharp jump in the boundary layer, flat across the center. Excuse me? And this is aspect ratio 6, but Prandtl number 0.7, aspect ratio 4 is identical. And this is the horizontal velocity profile, and this is the vertical velocity profile. And I'm going to be spending a lot of time talking about the boundary layers defined by this horizontal velocity profile. One boundary layer thickness that can be defined is the peak of the horizontal fluctuations. Now, this is periodic boundary conditions, so there is no mean flow. This is the only way I can define a boundary layer. Those aspect ratio 1 calculations are different. I have a very well-defined boundary layer just from the mean velocities, but here I don't. Only the fluctuating velocities. There's a peak there, and then there's a gradient at the wall, very steep gradient. And that appears in the dissipation profile here, which is a huge amount of dissipation right in the boundary layers at the top and bottom. And then when you normalize it by Nusselt minus 1 Rayleigh across the center, it's just below 1. And what this integrates out to is that the dissipation in the boundary layers is consistently 1/4 of the total dissipation. So it's very thin, but it's very large. And 1/4 of the dissipation exists here and here, and 3/4 of it exists there. And that is independent of Rayleigh number at Prandtl number 0.7. You can define a boundary layer by the peak of the temperature variance spectrum. And that peak and the peak defined by this position here where you get a transition or 1 over the Nusselt number scale with Rayleigh number in the same way. So this position and that position are the same. There's only one thermal boundary layer thickness that I've defined, but there seem to be two velocity boundary layer thicknesses. Yes. Well, that's what I'm going to get to in a second. Correct. That's what I find. Right, between 10 to the 5th and 10 to the, and 2 times 10 to the 7th. Well, I haven't looked at the dependence on aspect ratio. Datelift is asking me to Well, I mean, that's quite possible. It's a different situation. Well, Yeah, there are no vertical walls. There's no vertical walls. Okay. So, a case, from those curves, I can define a bunch of scalings. And this is Reynolds number of velocity scalings. And there are three ways I could define it. And they all basically come up with a value of Rayleigh to the 0.46. By and large, we've been getting, people have been showing us Rayleigh number to the 0.5. You know, I can't really say what the difference is, but one thing that should be pointed out is that these are all fluctuating velocities. And when people get Rayleigh to the 1/2, it's largely the bulk velocity that they're talking about. Whether they behave differently or I don't know. That's one of the things I need to check with my aspect ratio 1 calculations. Well, actually, I have, but I don't know what the scaling is off the top of my head. The more important thing that I want to, you can also get temperature scales. There are two temperature scales that you can define. And let me show you what those are before I lose this. Two temperature scales. The value of this, and one, the value of this. And both of these are decreasing as I increase the Rayleigh number, but they're appearing at different rates. And you might be able to see this in an experiment in an aspect ratio 1 by putting a temperature probe next to the sidewall, assuming that the thin boundary layer here gets pulled up the side. And then this is going to be the temperature fluctuations in the bulk. So there are two scalings there that I get different values for, and it might be interesting to do something experimentally with that. Okay, now, here are the three boundary layers that I've been talking about. One, here, the solid line is my 1/Nusselt temperature boundary layer thickness. And I'm saying it goes roughly as Rayleigh number to the -2/7, although the truth is, for my range of Rayleigh numbers, Rayleigh number to the -1/3 fits as well. Then this is the peak of the U-squared profile out here. And above Rayleigh number 10^5, which I'll get to in a minute, what that might be, that has a scaling that goes roughly as Rayleigh number to the -1/7. And then this boundary layer thickness, which corresponds to the prediction of Schramm and Sigia, goes as Rayleigh number to the -3/7. And is always within the thermal boundary layer thickness in my calculations. So, those are the calculations, the old calculations. And what I'm going to be suggesting is that once this arrangement of boundary layer thicknesses appears in my calculations at different Prandtl number, I seem to be getting a Rayleigh number to the 2/7 dependence on the Nusselt number. But before that, other things. So let's start on Nusselt number. And the three Nusselt numbers that I'm going to be showing here are Nusselt number 0.07. That's my lowest Nusselt number, and it's larger than the Nusselt that's my lowest Prandtl number. And that's bigger than the Prandtl number of Mercury. And the reason I didn't do Mercury 0.025 is that I could not get up to a reasonably large Rayleigh number for Mercury, because the smaller the Prandtl number, the larger the Reynolds number for a given Rayleigh number. And even here, the largest I could do was 2 × 10^6. The reason I'm showing Prandtl number 0.3, and this is what's different than what I showed at Los Alamos 2 years ago, is that this is a, quote, low Prandtl number, which I actually can reach Rayleigh number 10^7 for. And I'll get to why I think that's important in a second. And then this is Prandtl number 7. And this was the largest I used, mainly because that's water. But the other point is that as you go up in Prandtl number, the Reynolds number goes down. So you get to a certain point where your convection really isn't turbulent. And for the range of Rayleigh numbers I could cover, this is roughly the largest Prandtl number that could be in any sense called turbulent. So I've showed you Prandtl number 0.7. And that basically gives Rayleigh number to the 2/7 power over the entire range of Rayleigh numbers that I can simulate. And at low Prandtl number, the dashed line here, which is a bad fit to my data, but that's the line I have, is Rayleigh number to the 0.26. I mean, certainly not inconsistent with Rayleigh number to the 1/4 power, which is what people find experimentally for mercury and for which there's some theoretical basis for. And then the reason I did the Prandtl number 0.3 is that the dashed line here is Rayleigh number to the 2/7. And what you can see here is that below Rayleigh number of about 5 × 10^5, the Nusselt number has a distinctly less steep part of the curve. I mean, it's a very weak transition, if this is a transition at all, but it looks like it's Rayleigh number to the 2/7 up here and Rayleigh number to maybe the 1/4 down here.
Are you going to show us all those
just a second. Okay. And then this is 7. And again, at the large Rayleigh numbers, I might have Rayleigh number to the 2/7, and then at lower Rayleigh numbers, maybe Rayleigh number to the 1/4 power. So, this one I can't reach Rayleigh number 10^7, but by just extrapolating this curve up, not very much further, I can get an extrapolated value for the Nusselt number at 0.07. So what I have here is two ways of plotting the Nusselt number versus the Rayleigh number. And the solid line plus the dotted line is my numerical data. And what we have here is that's mercury experiments. That's experiments in air, in a gas. And out here is an experiment in water. And there's nothing inconsistent between this and those experiments, and I'll reinforce this in a second. Here's a plot between Nusselt 15 and 18 of those same numbers. And what I have here is the -1/7 prediction of Schramm and Insigia, and then the dot dash line here is the experiment of Liu and Ecke, and there's more agreement with the experiment than that particular theoretical prediction. Of course, that's a very high Prandtl number prediction, and I'm nowhere near that regime at this point. So that's what the Nusselt numbers are telling us. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that these length scales I just defined can tell us something about where these crossovers might occur. And so what we're looking for is an arrangement I've outlined in green here where you have a lambda sub u defined by that goes as this, lambda sub t that goes like this, and a z plus that goes like this in this order. This is bigger than that, is bigger than that. Really. Okay. So here are those length scales plotted as a function of Rayleigh number and then Prandtl number. And so for Prandtl number 0.07, here is the thermal boundary layer thickness, and it is outside all of the velocity boundary layer thicknesses for all Rayleigh number. So it's quite conceivable that I never got a Rayleigh to the 2/7 because of that. On the other hand, for Prandtl number 0.3, there is a crossover, roughly at Rayleigh number 5 × 10^5, where The thermal boundary layer thickness goes under that outside definition of a velocity boundary layer thickness, and I'm saying it's in this range of Rayleigh numbers where I start seeing something looks like Rayleigh number 2/7. And then a similar way, the thermal boundary layer thickness, this one Z plus is decreasing very rapidly. There's a crossover roughly around 10 to the fifth, and beyond that point is where I seem to be seeing 2/7. And from this, I can make some extrapolations to different Prandtl numbers and to different Rayleigh numbers. So here is Prandtl number of, here is these three length scales as a function of Prandtl number with the dotted lines representing the extrapolation to 0.07. And you see there's an extrapolation right at a crossover right at 10 to the 7th of these two length scales for the crossover that's here. So I would predict to get, even for this Prandtl number of 0.07, 2/7 for Rayleigh numbers greater than 10 to the 7th. And I've gone through some manipulations to predict where would there be such a crossover for mercury, that is Prandtl number of 0.025, and it would occur roughly at Rayleigh number 10 to the 9th, which is consistent with the latest mercury experiments, as far as I understand it. There seems to be some transition, change in the slope to 2/7 at about 10 to the 9th. So, with those things in hand, let me skip ahead here a little bit. Here's the extrapolation I did to predict when I would be getting a crossover for mercury. And right now I can't follow my arithmetic off the top of my head. Here's a blow-up of my plot of Nusselt versus Prandtl number. Here is Nusselt versus Prandtl number, the red points here, from the Oregon experiment. And you can see that there's sort of a vague outline of following the same type of curve. No, but they're higher Rayleigh number, okay? Not the same Rayleigh, and many differences. Now, let me just finish this with discussions of some patterns. Ruby Krishnamurti had an experiment that burned out at Florida State a number of years ago, where she had aspect ratio 12 convection in water. And she claimed to see somewhere around Rayleigh number 5 times 10 to the 5th a transition in structure. So that, let me try and remember what this is. At 10 to the 4th, you see a bunch of rolls, but that's a different Prandtl number. B is that large Prandtl number again. Here we have Prandtl number of 7, that's water, and Rayleigh number of 10 to the 6th, and you get a lot of roll-type patterns. And then you go to a somewhat higher Rayleigh number, and the pattern changed from being sort of roll-like patterns to what looked like plumes being convected along by a large-scale flow. What this is unfortunately, I didn't review my talk transparencies before I gave my talk because I wasn't planning on talking to tomorrow, but what it is laser shots through the bottom boundary as a function of time. So you have time going one way, sorry, it's up here at the top, X going this way and time going that way. Okay. And this is in some very obscure place. I mean, the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences or something like that, only those of us who know about it. But if you want a copy of it, it's in my file cabinet at home, and I could Also, Jack Herring has a copy. And these are two visualizations from my calculations, Rayleigh number 10 to the 5th, Rayleigh number 10 to the 7th, of at Prandtl number 7. And you see, at Rayleigh number 10 to the 5th, I basically get plumes that go from the top to bottom. And then as I go up in Rayleigh number, I tend to get plumes that do not go from top to bottom. They're only attached to the top, and they seem to be going back and forth like that. Now, it isn't quite that simple. What this is just temperature. Let me go to some better plots, okay? This is black and white. What it is the fluctuation in temperature at a given height. So it isn't the temperature at that height, it's the temperature minus the average temperature at that height. And what you see here is you don't quite see plumes that get pushed all the way around and then come around the whole cell. What you see is plumes that go halfway around and come around. So you see them being swept this way, and then they see them being swept this way, but in the other direction they're going the other way. So there's actually a line of convergence in the middle. And in the walls you see some networking, but you don't see that really fine networking that I saw for Prandtl number 0.7. And you do not see in the center such a really well-defined crossing pattern. On the other hand, at very low Prandtl number, what you see everywhere is, I mean, you see a bit of that crossing pattern that I showed you at 0.7, but you see this turbulence everywhere in the velocity field. No real mean flow of any sort. Here's vertical cross sections. It's just a lot of little stuff going all over the place. And you look at the temperature field, and because it's low Prandtl number, high diffusivity, the temperature is really broad. So that's what I wanted to say about the structures, and it's dependent on Prandtl number. And I'm probably finished with my time. Okay, Boris. Yeah, I skipped those view graphs. Let's just dig through the pile here and I'll find them. I mean, it's the same sort of profile, but obviously there are differences because of Prandtl number. So here is Prandtl number 7. Here's a peak. There's a peak. Obviously, it's more turbulent. Boundary layer is closer at the lower Prandtl number. These are just from one time realization. I haven't done long, detailed averages. These calculations were all done in aspect ratio 4 with sidewalls, so there is a very weak mean flow, which I've actually even multiplied by 5 to see anything. Peter. Right. Yes. I don't have one right here. I mean, if that's something that you want to see, just sit down with me at the workstation. It'll take 5-10 minutes to pop something out. I've got the data sitting there. Everyone's been asking that, including the reviewer of this paper. I know. And I went through my files to see if I had printed it out at runtime. Most of these runs were done by Jack Herring, and I just gave him a program that printed out all the stuff that I really thought we would need. And It's not in there. But it's trivial for me to just do analysis and find it. And if you were here next week, by maybe Tuesday, I'd have some results. I found the program that runs it, and I found my listing of all my directories. So it'll take a few hours. If I had to spend here all night, I'd probably have it tomorrow, but I think I might want to sleep. Maybe go out to dinner and beer with you guys. That's a good question. At 0.7, it's certainly a turnover. But these well-defined plumes that I just showed you at the higher Prandtl numbers, I think it's even longer because they're coming off, but they're actually being swept around. So there's two things going on here. And, you know, that's the type of thing where I just have to look at a long series of plots and we just have to decide what it is. The data's there. I mean, I saved often enough that we could... I know how to answer your question. I'll show my video. It's there. Okay? For all for Prandtl number 0.07, 0.7, and 7. It's small. It's 5 times 10 to the 5th Rayleigh number, there's really no difference in structures. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Right. Glezier's experiments show a 2/7 regime, certainly at the higher Rayleigh numbers, and if you look carefully at... I'll let him talk about that tomorrow. Okay, I don't want to give his talk. It's a complicated issue. No, it isn't. So... this is our next speaker, next victim.